Sermon for this morning is entitled Palm Sunday Vibrations. I'll be reading from Matthew's Gospel. It is the lectionary reading for this year. In Matthew chapter 21, I'll read the first 11 verses after the introduction to the sermon. But before we do that, let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, as we come to you now to hear your word proclaimed, speak to us from these ancient words written by a disciple of Jesus named Matthew long ago. May we come to understand from this record of Jesus' ministry that he is King and he is Lord. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and you are our Redeemer. Amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday, and it is one of those Sundays during the year that stands out because it corresponds with a very memorable day in the life of Jesus' ministry. Indeed, it stands out as a memorable week in his life and ministry. Hopefully, when you came in this morning, you received this dried palm branch that is shaped into the form of a cross. If you did not get one when you came in, I hope you will get one as you leave. There are plenty in the baskets in the hallways. It's an appropriate symbol for our worship today. This palm cross has a dual identity, just like Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is often now referred to as Palm Passion Sunday. And the passion part refers to the pain that Jesus experienced in his betrayal, his arrest, his crucifixion, and his death by the end of Good Friday. And so putting these identities together in worship for today is a beautiful way for us to begin Holy Week together, this journey toward Easter through the passion of Jesus Christ. I want you to remember this morning that every time you read one of the Gospels, to understand that each Gospel is written to a particular audience. For example, when John's Gospel is written, it is written because God gave his only Son to the world that all should believe in him. And so John's Gospel is unique in terms of it's written to the whole world. But when Matthew writes his gospel, remember that Matthew has in mind writing to the Jews. And that's why in his very first chapter of his record of Jesus' life and ministry, he gives the genealogy to connect the Old Testament to the New Testament for the Jewish listener. And so remember that when Matthew writes, he writes his gospel to a Jewish audience, to people who had lived in that generation of Israel for many, many years. And Matthew, you see, when you understand this, you listen to the details in his story so much more carefully. I'll say more about this in the course of the message. But remember, too, it was the week of Passover when Palm Sunday took place, when tens of thousands of Jews came to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices at the temple and to celebrate the Passover feast. Each family would make preparations during this week for the Thursday night Passover meal. They would remember the night in Egypt when the angel of death passed over their homes because they had taken the blood of a lamb and smeared it on the doorpost of their house so the angel of death would pass by. And they would remember their deliverance from Egypt. And so that particular Sunday, the streets of Jerusalem, it really would have been like a Monday for them, but it was very busy. It would be like coming up to a great holiday celebration, and there were thousands of visitors coming into the city. And Jesus and his disciples, they were also coming into the city, of course, for the Passover celebration, but they had other reasons to be there as well. Jesus, as you will hear in a moment, would fulfill a prophecy from the Old Testament by riding that donkey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And Jesus knew that this would be the week, he knew, this would be the week he would suffer, that he would bleed from the cross for the salvation of the whole world. And Jesus and his disciples, they were approaching Jerusalem, coming up from Jericho, where Jesus had done so many amazing miracles for the past few days, and in doing so, there was a large crowd of people who were following him. And for those people following Jesus, this would not be just a routine Passover celebration. This year, during the Passover, they longed, they hoped that this Jesus would be the long prophesied Messiah. They believed in him. It was going to be for them a once in a lifetime opportunity. And as they approached Jerusalem, Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples, he recorded for us the events that took place. And he did so with an understanding that he would be writing to the Jews. And this is what he says in Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road and cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And here ends the reading of Matthew's record of Palm Passion Sunday. And so again, there were people who had been traveling with Jesus. They believed in him. They had seen his miracles, his wonders. They had listened to his teachings. He taught as one with authority. And they believed him to be the long-awaited-for Messiah. He was to be the fulfillment, you see, of the promise given to King David that one of his descendants one day would sit on the throne forever. They believed that that meant he would overthrow the Romans and set them free from oppression and free from their control. And so as they approached Jerusalem, the crowd of people that went ahead of Jesus, they lined the streets, as we heard. They made a path. They laid down their cloaks. They cut branches from the palm trees and laid them, making a path before him. And they began shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, make no mistake about it. Jesus knew, In the midst of all of this acclamation, he knew that he was entering a hostile city. Almost anyone else doing such a thing in his position would have considered discretion being the better part of valor. And what I mean, they might have instead slipped into the city in the darkness of night. But Jesus did not do that. Jesus entered Jerusalem in a way that deliberately set him center stage. And what we discover, even after this reading, is that Jesus in his last days and almost everything he did so with a magnificent defiance, almost as if saying to the authorities, "Do your worst. Here I am." The people, as he entered on Palm Sunday, they made a huge commotion. And I found this so interesting this week. They made so much commotion that they drew attention, the attention of everyone, to look to Jesus. So much so that if you read verse 10 again, this is what you discover. "And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, 'Who is this?'" Jesus, you see, when he entered Jerusalem on that Palm Passion Sunday, he began to stir things up. He did it then, and he did it throughout the week before his arrest and up to his crucifixion on Good Friday. And Matthew wants us to know, and he wants his Jewish listeners to hear, that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil. Everyone was asking, "Who is this man?" Now, I have read that passage over and over for many years, this great entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And I noticed that word this time around, that the whole city was in turmoil. And so I began to look at different translations of the Bible to see what they had to say. And the King James Bible, it says the whole city was moved. It doesn't use the word turmoil. Another translation said the city was in an uproar. The NIV, which is a good study Bible, the New International Version of the Bible, it said the whole city was stirred. The Message Bible translation, which is really a paraphrase, it says the whole town was shaken. And so my question in my study this week is, what's going on with this word for turmoil when Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem? What's going on? What's happening here? And what's happening here is that when Matthew uses the word here for turmoil, that word would have rung a bell in a Jewish listener's ear, especially someone who had lived for generations in that region. Because the Greek word that Matthew chooses here for turmoil, that the others translate as shaken or stirred or moved, is the word seismos. It's where we get the word seismology, which of course is the science that deals with earthquakes and artificially produced vibrations that we measure in the earth. Now, many people may not realize this, but modern Israel is riddled with fault lines. It has a really big one that runs from South Africa, and it has an Arabian fault that comes right up through the Dead Sea. One large earthquake, in fact, was recorded, archaeologists tell us, within 5 years of Jesus' death. In the last 30 days, I looked this up, I was so curious about this, in the last 30 days, there have been at least a dozen minor earthquakes in Israel, measuring only a 3.0 or a 4.0 on the Richter scale. It has to be a 6 to be a big one. And Turkey and Syria had a big one not long ago, as we know. And geologists reckon this may be somewhat of the reason why there are tremors occurring now so frequently in Israel and the Middle East. And Matthew uses this word seismos in his gospel. He uses it seven times. Seven times. Get this, six of those times are in his record of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. The other gospel writers don't use this word. Matthew uses it. Matthew, you see, knows that those Jews he's writing to who lived in that region, they knew it to be an earthquake-prone region. Let me give you some examples of this word as we enter Holy Week. Another occasion that seismos is used is when Matthew records what happened for us on Good Friday. If you want to write it down, it's Matthew 27:51. Matthew describes the aftermath of Jesus' crucifixion, and this is how he writes and records it. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook. Seismos. There's that earthquake word. And it says the rocks were split. Or let's turn later to the resurrection, Matthew 28, the first four verses. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, you know the story, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, seismos. And an angel of the Lord came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards shook, and he uses it again, seismos. And so on Palm Passion Sunday, which begins this holy week when Jesus traveled the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering and death, that region was experiencing seismological vibrations. And I have read this story, this passage, over and over for over 35 years, and I'm just noticing the turmoil. When Jesus entered the city, it was so big. It was like an earthquake. And I never saw it before, but now I feel it. Because it ties us to Good Friday and it ties us to Easter in a way that only Matthew could tell this story of Jesus Christ. And so what's the point of all these earthquakes? Why does this matter on Palm Passion Sunday? Because it has everything to do about how people were responding to Jesus when he arrived in that great city. It was almost as if an earthquake was taking place. It is as if Matthew wants us to feel the vibrations of what is happening in Jesus' final purposeful days. People have noticed his sacrificial, inclusive love. And that love has already disrupted the ways the Pharisees had corrupted the laws of Moses. And Jesus came and reinterpreted those laws and fulfilled them. And the Pharisees were shaken. Matthew wants us to experience the seismic, the cosmic vibrations, the implication of Jesus entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday so long ago, and what that would mean for the history of humanity. The mercy and the love of God, the grace of God, the humility of God, riding a donkey into that city to fulfill the prophecy. It revealed the groundbreaking, the earth-shattering interruption of God into human life. And I'm so glad that it does. I'm so glad that his entrance into the holy city of Jerusalem, coming as a king, is tied to Good Friday and to Easter. Such a beautiful way to take a journey with Jesus this week. And this is helpful, I hope, to us, to all of us, when, of course, we think of times in our own lives when we have been shaken or stirred or disrupted by an event or by a phone call or by just life itself. I'm thinking this morning as well, like many of you, about those people who continue to experience such bombing and tragedy in the Ukraine, and they have done nothing to bring it upon themselves but want homes and families, and they are shaken. I'm sure many of you feel as I do this morning the vibrations of the pain and the suffering of the people in Turkey and Syria from the earthquakes that have just devastated the lives of so many, over 11,000 dead. And then this week, the tornadoes in the Midwest, the Tennessee Valley, lower Mississippi, and then the shootings in Tennessee at a school for children. It's like an earthquake. And this week, we will travel with Jesus. We will follow Jesus. And He will also, like us, He will be shaken. His life will be disturbed. He will be betrayed by one of the 12 at a meal around that table. The other disciples will flee. They will flee in fear for their own lives when Jesus is arrested. And then Jesus will stand before Pilate, and there will be a mock trial, and He will be flogged. There will be a crown pressed upon His head, and He will be crucified. And at the end of this week, by the end of this week on Easter Sunday, I pray so many of us will be so deeply moved, knowing that the stone that would be rolled away will reveal that He has risen from the dead. And the earth shook, just as it shook when He entered Jerusalem. The whole city was in turmoil. The whole earth would be moaning. And Matthew, I believe, wants us to know that while the earthquake that comes to each one of us in life, while it will always cause an interruption, we can look forward to a great hope that somehow, somewhere, things will all be made right because of this Jesus. He arrives beginning today, ready to break us free from the bonds of this world and from our sins. And so may our prayer be this day a prayer of praise. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.